This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The online bickering between President Trump and Elon Musk appeared to ease up overnight, with Musk, who seemed to go along with a post that urged the two men to make peace for the good of the country. However, minutes ago, ABC Chief Washington correspondent Jonathan Carl called the president and spoke to him.
Trump told me he has no interest. He's not particularly interested in talking to what he called the man who has lost his mind. So I wouldn't look for a detente anytime soon. Trump, I have to say, though, he didn't sound particularly concerned about all of this. He wanted to talk about other things, and he was rather dismissive of the whole controversy.
The controversy sparked when Musk criticized the president's massive spending bill, which is projected to add more than $2 trillion to the federal deficit. A federal judge temporarily blocking a proclamation by President Trump that banned foreign students from entering the U.S. to attend Harvard. Russia slamming Ukraine in a retaliatory attack overnight, hitting Kyiv, among other places. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Friday is the start of the state track and field meet, with thousands of people expected to attend. However, there are a number of roads, including Highway 16, under construction.
Unfortunately, you can expect backups, delays, and congestion in traffic coming into La Crosse. We hope you have a great time here, and please give yourself extra time so you don't miss any of these wonderful events.
That's La Crosse County Sheriff John Siegel. You can find a map of alternate routes and more information on the UW La Crosse website. June means June Dairy Month, and a number of dairy breakfast events are happening across western Wisconsin. Monroe County's event is Saturday at Chapman Farms near Toma. In Crawford County, the event is being held at Achenbach's Highview Farms near Eastman on Saturday as well. Next weekend, La Crosse County's dairy breakfast will be at the Interstate Fairgrounds, while Vernon County's will be at the Lepke Family Farm near Viroqua. You can find all of the events and more information at wisconsindairy.org. This weekend is your chance to enjoy Wisconsin's outdoors for free. With more, here's Civic Media's Brittany Merlot.
It's the 13th annual Free Fun Weekend, where state park admission fees are waived, fishing licenses aren't needed, and neither are trail passes, for the first weekend in June. You get to explore 50 state parks, 15 state forests, 44 state trails, and 84,000 miles of rivers and streams, and roughly 15,000 inland lakes.
You can find more information on the Wisconsin DNR and Travel Wisconsin websites. Late rain is possible for the start of the state track and field meet today. The National Weather Service in La Crosse says scattered light showers are possible all day, with slight chances of thunderstorms as well. Highs will stay in the mid-70s. Overnight into Saturday, there are slight chances of light rain, which continues during the second day of the state track meet. Highs again Saturday will be in the mid-70s. Sunday and Monday also bring decent chances of light rain, with highs around 70 degrees. We'll have more details in our Civic Media forecast. Download the free Civic Media app now at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Brewers face the Padres. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers host the San Diego Padres tonight at AmFam Field in Milwaukee. San Diego's Randy Vasquez against the Brewers right-hander Chad Patrick, who's 3-4 with an ERA of 2.97. Manager Pat Murphy.
Chad Patrick continues to show that he has the right stuff, meaning the right insides, to pitch up here and pitch in big situations.
NBA, the Pacers with a last-second shot by Tyrese Halliburton beat the Oklahoma City Thunder 111-110 in Game 1 of the NBA Finals, Game 2 Sunday night. NFL, Aaron Rodgers agrees to a one-year deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers, where he says he already knows the team's quarterback coach.
And the quarterback coach is actually a guy named Tom Arth. Tom Arth was in the quarterback room with me in 2006 in Green Bay in the offseason. The first offseason I ever did, went through the Mike McCarthy quarterback school. It was me and Tom Arth and Tom Clements.
The Steelers host the Packers Week 8 in Pittsburgh. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
We will likely have a few scattered showers and thunderstorms off and on through the weekend, but it won't be a wash. There'll still be plenty of dry time in there. Today, scattered showers are high in the mid-70s. Tonight, down to the low to mid-50s. Tomorrow, scattered showers and thunderstorms, mid-70s for highs. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
State Senator Kelda Royce.
The vast majority of people on Medicaid are already working, and it is Medicaid that makes it possible for them to work. People who are disabled or have chronic illnesses and without that health care, they would be out of the workforce. They would have no ability to participate in the economy, and now they can. Medicaid is one of the greatest workforce programs this country has ever built, and they are trying to dismantle it, and with it, they're going to take people's lives and economic security.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Teachers are dynamic leaders shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. They're skilled experts discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, leading by example. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org. Supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'll be joined by Civic Media's political editor, Dan Schaefer, to discuss what the heck went wrong with Wisconsin's biennial budget and the draconian cuts the MAGA regime is proposing right here at home.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. It's 8:06. Nice to have you back here up north on this Friday morning, June 6th. Pat Kreitlow here in Chippewa Falls, Parker Olson in Madison Studio A2 at the Civic Media Global HQ. Have you come down from the high of your Whitewater baseball team winning the national championship this week?
You know, Pat, I thought I was, and then I saw some pictures this morning of the little homecoming parade they had yesterday, mm-hmm. last night, and I was like, ooh, we're national champs. This is kind of cool.
So you did not race back there for the little parade, as you say?
No, I didn't. I had some self-restraint.
Okay.
Figured I should go to bed.
All right. Let's see. I believe I'm sure that I mentioned Dr. Lyerly may be coming by, and I plumb forgot that I believe she has a conflict today, so we will not be talking with her. But it's too bad, because one of the last notes I got from her was that I don't know if she was there. I assume she was there, but she might have just told me that the Wisconsin Medical Society had its doctor day at Monona Terrace this week in Madison. And that Assembly Speaker Robin Voss was there, and that he made some crack about to these doctors about them needing to do their research. And I had this great question that I wanted to ask Kristen, and it was whether there were any proctologists amongst all the doctors that were in there, so that maybe somebody could finally find whatever bug it is that crawled up Robin Voss's posterior and made him the way that he is, single-handedly preventing the expansion of stable, affordable health care for new moms from 60 days to 12 months. But unfortunately, if there was a proctologist there, we don't know yet.
No.
So Kristen should be here Monday morning at 6:30, and so we'll talk to her more about that and everything else that comes up. Robin Tigerton wants to congratulate you as well, Whitewater, for winning the national championship.
Thank you very much, Rob.
And we want to say again, happy birthday to the Rob, because I was looking at the post here that Dr. Lyerly put up all about Rob's birthday and collecting some birthday love. So we appreciate all of that as well. We always like to have everybody joining us by text or in the comment section or anything like that. It just makes everything so much more well-rounded. Mike Clemens is going to be here at the bottom of the hour, and we're going to talk a little bit of sports, because there was that big comeback in the NBA Finals Game 1 last night, with Indiana never leading in the game until the very end, 0.3 of a second left, Tyrese Halliburton shooting. And then the night before, Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Finals went to overtime, and Edmonton came all the way back to defeat Florida. So Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Finals is tonight. And so, Parker, what have we learned from this? Go to bed early.
Oh, yeah, that too. I've learned that this is definitely going to overtime.
It could, and again, I don't have a problem with that. Well, one overtime.
After that. One overtime is fun. More than that, especially in hockey, because they do the whole 20-minute like intermissions between.
Well, the Zamboni's got to do Zamboni things.
Oh, I know. It's just it makes it so much longer.
I know. I mean, imagine if in between all the basketball periods, you had to like take somebody's Hoover or Eureka, and we're just going to go up and down and vacuum the entire basketball court.
That would be a really good like marketing thing. Why didn't like one of those robotic vacuums ever get
Roomba?
A deal with?
Oh, yeah. Why wouldn't you?
That'd be
my
sick.
Gosh, we've hit on something. Roomba, the basketball court. Get a Roomba Zamboni.
Yeah.
For the basketball courts. Oh, I love this. Tony, unhappy about the all the many double-digit comebacks. Very frustrating because he wants them to lose. I assume he's talking about the Pacers.
Yeah.
And it just does not appear. Look, if there's one thing I know about sports, and there's not a lot, but the one thing I know is it. People going, well, these are small market teams. Nobody's watching. People will watch a Game 7. And so the only thing, all they want is a long series. So they're happy Indiana won because Oklahoma City was the favorite. So as long as this keeps happening and they end up, instead of playing four games, play 5, 6, or 7, everybody's going to be very happy.
Yeah.
Today is National Donut Day. It's mentioned in our newsletter. You can head over to upnorthnewswi.com for that link and to learn more about it, including where some national lists put some of Wisconsin's best donut shops at. I don't know that I have one these days. You know, some bakeries have come and gone over the years. I know down there in Madison, Greenbush is a very popular one. I know that it makes some national lists. I don't know about Whitewater, but did you have a favorite place to go get donuts back in the day?
I'm not, as much as I love donuts, I don't know that I've ever like gone out specifically for the purpose of finding a donut.
Mm-hmm.
Whitewater, what's it called? I think it's Sweet Spot Cafe. I'm not sure if I've ever been there, but everyone says that it's very good.
Okay.
So, Sweet Spot Cafe.
I would love if people got on either the text line or in the comment section and just gave a shout out to some local donut shops. In Eau Claire, there used to be a place called Heppner's Bakery, which was always good. Some of your local grocery stores, you know, can still make up some good fresh donuts. And I'll say this, and again, I don't mean this with any animus toward the folks here, but there's one chain that's known for its donuts. It's right there in the name. And yet, I have never warmed up to Dunkin' Donuts.
No?
Or now Dunkin', as it's called.
Is it just Dunkin' now? I didn't even know that.
Yeah. Well, it's D-U-N-K apostrophe N. Because, again, nobody uses full words anymore because you got to text, you know?
Yeah.
BRB, be right back, you know? So Dunkin' Donuts, and yet, on the other hand, the chain that I can't believe had to eventually pare back and downsize, Krispy Kreme. Because I remember when Krispy Kreme donuts were relatively new and when the chain was really expanding.
Yeah.
And those puppies would come right off they'd put that glaze on right out of the fryer. So they were warm and they were gooey and, oh. I still can't believe there's not one on every corner.
That sounds really nice. I would love some Krispy Kreme.
I know, doesn't it, though? So, anyway, National Donut Day. Again, a little bit more in our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. And then you can also follow us on social media. And if you do that, you'll find that there's a story there. I think it was first seen on CNN, and we put it in ours as well, about a Wisconsin artist who, using reclaimed wood, mostly from thrown-out furniture, use that wood to create some very artistic logos for every NFL team. And then those wooden logos were on display all throughout Green Bay for the draft at Lambeau Field a few weeks back. And so it's a follow-up story about how that artist's handiwork, again, using the reclaimed wood, all that work is now going to, I think, the NFL headquarters to be displayed there. So you can find that story on our Facebook page. Now, Cassandra's jumping back into the donut debate here, saying glazers are better, and Tony saying those are amazing. I'm not going to give you a full-throated endorsement of glazers. I'm sorry.
Glazers are good.
And Alicia's saying we've got a new place in Kimberly called Cheeky Donuts. I like that. Cheeky Donuts. So, who else has got? I'm looking at. You know what? I was so busy looking at one text line that I didn't look at ours. So let me see.
Luke is getting. I believe those must be the donuts from Greenbush.
That it there. There is a photo from Luke Mathers on the text line of a box of Green Bush donuts on their way to. Oh my goodness!
I'm very happy.
I can be there in 3 hours. Let me just grab the.
They'll be gone, Pat. And, I'm having that whole box.
They will. They'll be so gone. That is very unfortunate. Where was I? Oh, yes, I was talking newsletters, because there'll be a weekend edition out as well that I'll be putting together here shortly with some of the top stories of the week. And again, you can head over to upnorthnewswi.com and subscribe to that there as well. There were so many stories that we didn't even get a chance to get to with the Week in Review panel. One that I just want to spout off on briefly. And it's based in a sad story. There was a death in Alaska of somebody climbing a mountain. And in the story, I realized that the New York Times had reverted to what Donald Trump wants to call it, which is Mount McKinley. And it had been Mount McKinley for a while when some white guy came along and named it after a president who never saw it, never visited it, but to honor him. But, you know, for all of its time previously, the indigenous community there had referred to it as Denali. And during the Bush administration, I believe, the name was formally changed back to Mount Denali. But Donald Trump, along with pretending to change the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America, did the same and said, this mountain is now renamed Mount McKinley. And I don't know what counts as official and what doesn't count. All I know is the New York Times really disappointed me yesterday by calling it Mount McKinley. And then deeper in the story, it says, a vast majority of climbers on Mount McKinley, whose name was changed from Mount Denali by President Trump this year, attempt to, and blah, 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 so on it goes. I'm like, why? Why even go there? Is that something that a president can just wave their wand and make happen? Because it's going to be changed back. I mean, we can do this all day long, but ultimately, it's going to be Denali because most people understand the reason for it and the reason why the Mount McKinley title wasn't appropriate then and isn't now. The new jobless report has come out, and there's some good news and there's some bad news in there. Employers added 139,000 jobs last month, about in line with economists' expectations, and the unemployment rate is at 4.2%. Now, adding 139,000 jobs is nice, but there's also what the Times calls the DOGE effect, and that is that the federal government last month alone shed 22,000 jobs. And since January, the federal government has shed nearly 60,000 jobs, probably more when you also look at the ones who are put on administrative leave or who were contractors and their contracts were cut. Now, again, there's a group out there that says, well, this is good. This is shedding government expense, which it is for the short term. And then you look at the services that they were providing and you look at how things get worse in terms of service or services aren't provided at all. And then it costs more in the long run to restore them. And you realize where the phrase penny wise but pound foolish came from. This is the Trump effect, the DOGE effect of shedding all these folks for short-term gain. And again, I say, it's not like cutting all these jobs is going to put money back into anybody's pockets unless you're a billionaire. Because all that money that's not going to pay middle-class people working for or around the government, that money is now just going to go toward tax breaks for the fabulously wealthy. And if you don't believe me when I say you can only shed so many jobs before quality of service struggles, just look at what Elon Musk bought when he bought Twitter and changed it to X. It's a dumpster fire right now. Yesterday was the most time that I'd spent on Twitter or X in about a year. And I left it not just because of Elon Musk and what he did to the company. He let like half the workforce go. The product suffered. And he had no problem putting essentially soft porn on Twitter and putting all kinds of rants from Nazis, and the place has just become a dumpster fire. Still go on time to time because you have to. You have to convey the news and the messaging, you know, where folks are, wherever they are. But Twitter's nothing like what it used to be. And what Elon Musk did to Twitter is exactly what Musk and Trump are doing now to your federal government. We'll continue here live from Lake Wissota on a Friday morning, June 6th here, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlum.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Summer. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Then listen in for the keywords during the 7 and 11 a.m. hour and 2 and 4 p.m. hour. Text in the keyword and get set to win. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. June is pollinator month, and some Wisconsin lawmakers have introduced a package of bills to protect our bees, butterflies, and other insects. The bills would prevent the DNR from using a class of pesticides called neonicotinoids, which are known to harm pollinators. It would also prevent retailers from labeling plants as pollinator-friendly if they've been treated with high levels of pesticides. Great Lakes fisheries could struggle under budget cuts. President Trump is pushing Congress to eliminate the entire biological research program at the U.S. Geological Survey. The Ecosystem Mission Area monitors and conducts research on fish and wildlife populations in the Great Lakes and beyond. If passed, federal wildlife and fisheries research centers across Wisconsin would be shuttered. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into environmental issues across the state, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Brewers are back at American Family Field for a long homestand, starting tonight with a three-game series against the San Diego Padres. Coverage begins at 6:35 on stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward. Head over to the Civic Media website to learn much more. One of the things that has happened in the age of Trump is we've discovered the Republicans, the conservatives out there, who can still hold on to some basic American values of truth and fairness. And so even people with whom we would have vehement disagreements, you know, think of your, you know, Liz Cheney's and things like that, we find common ground from time to time. Here's a group of four people, two Dems, two Republicans, you maybe never thought would be co-authors of an op-ed column. Mandela Barnes, J.B. Holland, a former attorney general, Mike Tate, the former chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, and former Congressman Scott Klug. And these two Republicans and two Democrats have put together a column called "We Know How to Fix the Biggest Lie About Wisconsin's Elections." The reality is Wisconsin runs a tight ship throughout the election season, and faith in election integrity is rising. And their point is, especially from the two Republicans as much as the two Democrats, is that we need to stop, they need to stop, Republicans need to stop spreading the lie that there's some kind of funny business going on in Milwaukee, the so-called late-night ballot dump. again, for folks who maybe missed the basics of this, people are upset and love to spread this conspiracy because election results don't come in from Milwaukee and some of the other larger cities until very late at night, sometimes the middle of the night. That's because they're big places, and it's easier to bring all of the ballots to a central count facility rather than buy a machine. You can buy a machine for your small town. You can buy a couple machines for your, you know, larger village. But imagine how much infrastructure would be needed in a city like Milwaukee. And people would say, well, why do you do that? Why don't you just put everything into a smaller number of machines, bring all the ballots there and count them there? That's what they do. And so they bring, and this happens in Green Bay and other cities as well, they bring all the ballots to a central count facility. It still takes a while to count them all because that's still a lot of people. And as a result, numbers aren't available oftentimes until later than smaller communities. That only makes sense. So what can you do about it? Well, one thing you can do is you can begin processing absentee ballots a day earlier. Not counting the ballots, they can all be counted on election day, but to process an absentee ballot means to look at the envelope, make sure it came to the right place, is filled out properly, has the witness signature. If all that's right, then you can open it up and then feed that ballot into the machine. So you could start reviewing the absentee ballots the day before so that you could set aside the bad ones, the ones that you're not going to count because there's something irregular about them, and have the rest ready to run through the machine from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. on election day. This is simple. This is basic. Everybody understands it. And in the past couple of sessions, there have been bipartisan bills that would allow every place in Wisconsin to begin processing their absentee ballots the day before the election. And the past couple of sessions, a handful of Republicans has stopped it, had said, nope, these bills are not going to pass. And then they go on to spread the lie about the conspiracy, about funny business in Milwaukee with these late night ballot dumps. And so that's why you have now two Republicans and two Democrats with this column noting how strong election administration has been and how wrong it is that Wisconsin is getting a black eye about these late night ballots, and that there is a way to fix this. 76% of voters in a survey they cite want to allow election officials to begin the absentee ballot verification process a day before the election. Voters understand that things are going right in this state, and so the call for reform is clear, they write in this column. Voters want their elections to be safe, transparent, efficient, and consistent. The proposal to begin pre-processing absentee ballots one day earlier and the push for standardized drop box rules are simple but important ways to address public concerns while reinforcing faith in the electoral system. So again, that is a plea put forward by Mandela Barnes, J.B. Holland, Mike Tate, and Scott Klug. A way to address a conspiracy that it's long past time that this be addressed. Alicia putting on YouTube, passing the early process would take away one of the Republican scare tactics. Yes, Alicia, which is why, unfortunately, even with this column by two esteemed former Republican elected officials and two Democrats, I do have a feeling that this bill might not pass. After all, we're having a tough time getting a bill passed to provide stable, affordable health care to new moms. A political bill about elections, that might be an even taller mountain to climb. Tony putting on, the current standard for drop boxes is that the mayor can take them whenever they want, right? He says, taking a poke at the mayor of Wausau. Yeah, quite possibly. And that thing is still dragging on as well. One more note to tell you about this, also from the Journal Sentinel, an article from Dan Bice about Bill Berrien, the Whitefish Bay businessman, a Republican considering a run for governor. But Dan Bice has been looking at some of his past donations and other activity and notes that Bill Berrien might have a tough time running for governor next year if he chooses to, because he not only donated $33,000 to Nikki Haley in her primary run against Donald Trump last year, he was also quoted back then in the Washington Post as saying, Nikki Haley's more aggressive posture toward Trump was welcomed, as it is communicating the stark choice in front of the party and the country and the need for a generational change in leadership, said Bill Berrien. We'll talk to Mike Clemens about sports coming up next. You're up north.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Legislative Republicans and Governor Tony Evers have ended negotiations on the state budget. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tomei Olson.
Republicans are now officially crafting their own budget after walking out on negotiations with Governor Tony Evers. They've been in talks trying to come to an agreement on tax cuts, a priority for Republicans, and funding things like schools, child care centers, and universities, a priority for the governor. Republican State Senator Mark Bourne, co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee.
Unfortunately, those conversations have stopped. The spending really that the governor needs is just more than the state can afford, and it was getting to the point where it was about 3-1 compared to the tax cuts that we were looking at.
Wisconsin currently has a record $4.5 billion or so surplus, according to the nonpartisan Wisconsin Policy Forum. Republicans have the majority, so now this budget is essentially in their hands. Democratic State Senator Kelda Royce.
We're going to see a budget that does very little to lower costs for working families. I think we're going to see a budget that fails our kids. We're going to see a budget that refuses to invest in our public universities at a really critical time. We're going to see a budget that turns a blind eye to relief for ordinary Wisconsinites. We're going to see a budget that exacerbates the child care crisis in the state.
Thursday, Republicans added more bonding authority to clean drinking water initiatives and $500,000 to a program to train more physicians. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Legislators are trying to finalize the budget by the end of the month. Friday is the start of the state track and field meet with thousands of people expected to attend. However, there are a number of roads, including Highway 16, under construction.
Unfortunately, you can expect backups, delays, and congestion in traffic coming into La Crosse. We hope you have a great time here, and please give yourself extra time so you don't miss any of these wonderful events.
That's La Crosse County Sheriff John Siegel. You can find a map of alternate routes and more information on the UW La Crosse website. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Actress Mia Sara is back after a 14-year hiatus. You might know her as Sloane Peterson from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Yahoo Entertainment reports she was back on the red carpet at the premiere of The Life of Chuck, a sci-fi fantasy based on a Stephen King novel. Sara was last seen on the big screen in 2011 in Dorothy and the Witches of Oz. Sara says she is not officially out of retirement, but will always work if director Mike Flanagan asks her. I feel the same way. Here's some cool news on the heels of a really good documentary about Sly and the Family Stone. The Hulu documentary Sly Lives was insightful and a really fun watch. Now, 60 years after a concert recording, a new album will be released. According to Variety, the first family, live at Winchester Cathedral, 1967, will be released this summer. The band's manager put the recordings in a vault shortly after the show decades ago. They were discovered in 2002. The new old material will be released July 18th on High Moon Records. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wamba. Weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We will likely have a few scattered showers and thunderstorms off and on through the weekend, but it won't be a wash. There'll still be plenty of dry time in there. Today, scattered showers are high in the mid-70s tonight, down to the low to mid-50s. Tomorrow, scattered showers and thunderstorms, mid-70s for highs. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Matt Miller, a Milwaukee-based film critic. The film Sinners, the more distance I have from it, the more I liked it. Is that an Oscar film?
I think there is a love for what Sinners is doing, that a studio movie was this interesting and creative and thoughtful, but also entertaining. This is not the last you will hear about Sinners this year. I'd be shocked if it doesn't get a Best Picture nomination.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, Trump administration thinks that they're doing a solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to healthcare, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees. I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we'll be joined by Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin. Also, Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor, will be here to break down all the news. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Welcome back. It's 8:35 on this Friday morning. First, shameless plug for the Civic Media app. If you head over to the app, not only can you text in keywords as part of our Scotty Summer Text to Win contest, and your next chance to do that, by the way, is in the 11 a.m. hour, but you can also send just general text messages to us, but you can also use the voice note feature where you tap that and you record a quick little message to us. If you're able to, throw your name and hometown in there. If you don't want to, you just want to give us your 2 cents on something. Here's one that came in just a bit ago from a listener to WAUK.
These petulant children, Elon and Trump, from the Leopards Eating Each Other's Faces party, are totally ridiculous. How much did Elon pay to have Trump elected again?
And again, the answer there was $290 million, but that's part of the voice note feature. Feel free to use that. Send us notes anytime. If Parker were going to send us a note, the note would say, "I got a donut." And for folks watching on social media, he still hasn't taken a bite out of this thing. But Luke, nice evil laugh. Luke Mathers has made it back from Greenbush and is showing off. Is that, what'd you say it was, a s'mores donut? He can't even talk.
It's s'mores
in his face.
It's s'mores, and it's spectacular.
Oh, my gosh. All right. We did ask where your favorite donuts were. Adam jumps up on YouTube and says, Fosdell Bakery in Stoughton has the best donuts, hands down. I looked it up on the website. Yeah, I'd eat those. That is some good stuff here. And from Tony, the aptly named Ashland Baking Company has all sorts of fantastic baked goods. So there you go. We're on National Donut Day. We're just passing things around here. Let's talk about sports for the weekend and bring in Mike Clemens, who will be joining us on a weekly basis to talk about what's happened, what will be happening this weekend. The man's on the road all the time. He's doing all these sports events. And so we've got to start. Oh, wait, I got one more here. Cassandra saying Manderfield's in Appleton for donuts. So I got to start by asking Mike, of all of his travels, Mike, do you have a favorite donut place? Good morning. Thanks for being here.
You know, in my hometown of Beloit, there's a place called Old Fashioned Bakery that's been around for 50, 60 years. They do that that elephant ear cinnamon crisp kind of thing.
Yes.
Oh, and that's really dangerous. but no, I love it. And you know, and when you get into San Francisco, you talked about Fisherman's Wharf and the great seafood and everything. But they've got a couple of huge, giant bakeries right down there, you know, by the water. Where you can smell the sourdough bread being made on it.
Oh, yeah, yes, I've smelled that there. Oh,
yeah, they should just rename it Carb City, you know.
I believe it. Oh, I'd forgotten all about how good that smells there. That is wonderful. Where do we find you this week? Where are you traveling around to?
Going up to AmFam Field, okay. About 30 minutes from where we live in the Milwaukee area, because the Brewers starting their longest homestand of the season, Pat, and it's tonight. It's the Brewers against the San Diego Padres. Padres, pretty good team. They're in second place behind the division leader Dodgers over there in the West, and Murph is probably going to go with Chad Patrick tonight on the mound amidst all the other drama he's had this week. Did you see what happened to Brandon Woodruff?
And
his, yes. Was supposed to be his final rehab. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Brandon Woodruff has not been able to pitch for the Brewers since September of 2023. Then he has the surgery, and he had an ankle problem during this rehab. And then the other night, it was supposed to be his last rehab start. It's the second inning. He's 12 pitches into the game, throws the ball, batter hits it back at him. hits him in the right elbow. He's right-handed. A contusion. He's had it imaged twice this week, but he's back on the IL. And, you know, they just can't get their veteran pitcher out there to, you know, lead out there. I mean, even help with guys like Freddie Peralta, just being a part of the clubhouse every day and a part of the rotation.
Yes, I mean, the presence matters, and I'm sure he and everybody associated with the team is going, a break cannot be caught with this guy.
No.
You know? So I do fully expect, and I don't mean to be flippant about this, but I will not be surprised if he does finally make it to American Family Field and on his way out to the pitching mound steps on a rake. Because it's these just
that's the way it's going right now.
That's the way it's going right now. So we've got this long homestand coming up, starting with the Padres. And I'd best, before I forget, remind everybody that the pregame starts at 6:35 on stations throughout the Civic Media Radio Network. Head over to the website to learn more. So there's San Diego for the weekend, and then Atlanta Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Wednesday is a day game. But then we've got we resume division work going up against the St. Louis Cardinals. So, you know, I'm not diminishing the first two series in this homestand, but boy, they'd best not wear out before next Thursday.
No, it'd be nice to win, you know, if they could win all three of those series. But certainly when the Cardinals come here next weekend, Cardinals in second place right now behind the division leading Cubs. But how about the Brewers just hanging in there 5-6 games behind Chicago, but still getting through this period? And you know, one of the things that's turned around, I mean, that dramatic grand slam that Christian Yelich had the other night.
Mm-hmm.
And then, the next day he gets hit, you know, in his right hand with a pitch. And you're thinking, you know, thank God it's not a contusion. And he managed to pop back up, you know, woke up the next morning, the swelling had gone down, and he was back out there again. And then he hit another home run to finish out that series in Cincinnati. They've beat the Reds now 12 series in a row with that 9-1 win they had on Wednesday afternoon, a much needed rest yesterday before they get into a homestand. So they're in pretty good shape. It's just amazing what Pat Murphy has done, pulling bunnies out of a hat with the rotations of the pitching and coming up with this stuff like, you know, DL Hull, the lefty.
Yeah.
It was a solid pitcher. You know, everyone was disappointed. Why are they sending Logan Henderson down? The kid has won like, you know, 3-4 games in a row here to start his career. But then you see DL out there say, okay, this is a grown man out there on the mound. This is a guy who knows what he's doing. So if they can get him going into full rotation, then they'll be positioned to make a run at this thing for the summer months and hopefully into the fall.
I sure hope so. It's good because I'll tell you, up 2 weeks ago or so, I thought, well, this is it with all the starting pitcher injuries. It just didn't feel like we were going to bounce back, and we did, especially sweeping in Philly. That was probably the best surprise of the year for me.
About
as surprising as, yeah, as Yelich not going down because he'd been so injury prone. Let's turn to football for a sec here. The Packers wrapped up their OTAs in Green Bay. For the uninitiated, Mike, OTAs are
organized team activities. And so technically it's volunteer, but you know, it's like you and I in a staff meeting for, you know, radio. It's volunteer, but it's a good idea to show up to this.
Yes.
Meeting.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good idea. So
it's what I do. The way I do it now is I do show up, I wave, I then turn my camera off. I get a few other things done. The meeting's wrapping up. I turn my camera on. I wave, and nobody's the wiser. And so the Packers have an in-person version of that.
They do, and so it's helmets and shorts, but they're out there 11-on-11. And Jordan Love, man, he threw a ball 60 yards in the air and hit Jaden Reed in stride, and it might be one of the best passes I've seen Love throw, you know, in his whole time in Green Bay. I mean, he's starting to hit these long balls that were kind of 50-50 in the past. Then he hits Romeo Doubs in the corner of the end zone on a two-point conversion, and it's looking pretty sharp. You're a little disappointed because you're looking off to the sidelines, and there's Marshawn Lloyd, who they drafted in the third round last year from USC. I've got no data on this guy, Pat. I mean, he was injured so much last year and on IR. Then when he was coming off and looked like they might get him into some of the games, he has appendicitis. So they end up shutting him down. Well, we get into these OTAs, and I'm like so anxious to see what this number 32 can do, you know, behind Josh Jacobs. And there he's on the sidelines again, this time with Christian Watson, who's coming back from an ACL, apparently a hamstring. We asked LaFleur about it. He goes, listen, we've seen enough from this guy to know that he could be special. But yeah, it's true. It's, you know, he's got to figure out a way to make himself available and to get. And they said that he worked out really hard after the season. He's been, you know, in the facility working out every day and trying to improve his strength. Then they let Malik Willis, their backup quarterback, take over the offense, running the ones. And he's moving the ball. He's throwing a couple passes, 25, 30 yards downfield, and looking really sharp. And I leaned over to one of the guys from the Packers around the sidelines and said, let me ask you a question. Do the Pittsburgh Steelers have anybody in their roster right now that can play a quarterback as well as Malik Willis? Because they didn't. Earlier in the week, with between Mason Rudolph and was it Will Howard, the kid from Ohio State, they picked up like in the sixth round. Mm-hmm. And, you know, point well taken. Like, what are they thinking in Pittsburgh? And then we get yesterday's news. You know, Aaron Rodgers is going to come in today, sign a one-year deal, and looks like we'll be there for their mandatory minicamp next week in Pittsburgh.
And this has been an ongoing, courtship, romance, whatever you want to call it, with Steelers coach Mike Tomlin. Clearly there's a mutual admiration society, but nobody knew if they were eventually, if he was going to put his name on a contract, and he finally did for 1 year. Now the question becomes, will he still be around? Is it week eight when the Steelers play the Packers?
Yeah, a Sunday night football. Steelers, it'll be Jordan Love against Aaron Rodgers in Pittsburgh on NBC Sunday Night Football. And he starts out, his career with the Steelers week one against, his former team, the Jets. It'll be Justin Fields, the former Steelers quarterback, against Aaron. So that's going to be, the NFL schedulers know what they're doing. But, at the end of the day, Aaron can make things so complicated sometimes. And, he's done this thing where he used to criticize Brett Favre for this. Well, he's doing it where he finds out ways to get away from the OTAs and the mini camps. As a matter of fact, his last year in Green Bay, he was week three of training camp, complaining about some of these young receivers that he had around him that they picked up in the draft, like a Romeo Dobbs and all that. Like, these guys got to pick it up, right? And I've covered him all those years since he got drafted in Green Bay. And I said, Aaron, when Brett would come in here for training camp, it would take about 2.5 weeks for him to get going, right? And he smiled. Yes, that's true. I said, and you came here day one and you were ready to go. And he smiled again. That's right. Because he was in tip-top condition. He was ready to go. Unbelievable passes, unbelievable tricks with the football for day one of training camp. But if you're going to complain about these young receivers, wouldn't it help if you could come to some of the OTAs or the mini camp to, let them get more reps with you? And some of the beat writers later said, dude, do you have a death wish? He'll never talk to you again after a question like that. No, I know this guy the whole time. And that's when he gave his kind of famous answer. He goes, look, the off season, those programs, OTAs are all fine and good. That's the 100 level curriculum for our offense. When I get here, that's the 200 and the 300 level when I'm on the field, because we run a different offense when we're on the field. And that right there is the problem, because with the 30 hand signals, he makes it so complicated at times. That's some of the problems that some of these players around him have. But they love him as a guy and as a talent. It's just if they can somehow be on his same wavelength.
Yeah. We've got the AmFam Championship this weekend at TPC. You had the Women's U.S. Open last Sunday at Erin Hills. And I got 30 seconds left here for you to tell me about game one of the NBA Finals, the Pacers leading one time and at the very end.
Tyrese Halliburton does it again. The kid from Oshkosh North High School, they're down by 15 in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
He gets it within four. So he comes down, a jump shot from the right-hand side, good. And the Pacers steal one. First lead of the night, 111 to 110 with 0.3 of a second left last night. Game two is Sunday night in the NBA Finals.
Oh, that counts. Yeah, winning at the buzzer there. We're talking Friday Sports with Mike Clemens. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds signed two election bills May 2nd, one of which includes provisions for poll workers to challenge the citizenship of voters in the polling place, a ban on ranked choice voting, and a higher bar for third parties. Among several new provisions, House File 954 authorizes state election officials to access federal agency databases and gives local election officials authority to challenge citizenship of a registered voter at the polls. A recent presidential executive order now allows access to those databases. If a voter is not able to provide documentation at the polls, they would be forced to use a provisional ballot. Only days before the 2024 election, the Secretary of State's office challenged the eligibility of over 2,100 registered voters. Most were naturalized citizens or data errors, while 277 were registered non-citizens. Of those, only 35 voted out of 1.7 million ballots cast. Pro-voter groups argue such mass challenges intimidate legitimate naturalized citizens from voting. Two provisions in 954 attempt to protect major party power. It bans ranked choice voting for any election in Iowa and raises the bar for third parties to field candidates. Third parties now need to garner 2% of the vote in three consecutive elections to qualify for the ballot. We have more on HF 954 at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
It's our Scotty Summer statewide text to win contest on your local Civic Media radio station. For a complete list of contest rules, log on civicmedia.us/contest-terms.
Did you know VA home loans are a key to home ownership for those who served?
In the military, we make a lot of sacrifices, and with the VA loan, it makes it easier for us to get a home.
We were able to purchase this home and then use the money that we were going to use as a down to actually fix up the home. I would tell anybody who is interested in getting a VA loan to just do it.
To learn more about VA home loans, visit va.gov/homeloans.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
From Cassandra on YouTube, describe what's on the donut for us, Parker. For folks who might have missed it, Luke Mathers brought in donuts for National Donut Day. Are they from Greenbush? I couldn't quite see on the photo there from
Mr.
Mathers.
He did not say. I believe that they are. That's my guess.
I believe so, too. And you have just been going crazy about what little bit remains of that donut there. Oh, s'more donut?
Here comes Luke, too. He's excited about this.
He's making sure you don't get crumbs on the board. That's
oh,
all.
No.
So
it's fine.
So we got to have some graham cracker, right?
Yeah. We got there some. Ooh, what do you got?
Which one you got, Mathers?
What? Jelly. That's a good one.
I'm jelly. Yeah. You see what I did there?
Yeah. I see what you did there. That was
pretty good.
So
a little graham cracker, a little chocolate.
A little chocolate frosting, and I do believe there's got to be some marshmallow in there. I don't see it, but man, I taste it.
Dehydrated marshmallow powder. I don't know. Somehow or another, it's on there.
Yeah, it's good. Okay. It's good stuff. No, I'm a fan. Yeah. I will be going back to this place. I will make sure I know where this is.
You know, I'll tell you, I'll even give you a chance to eat it right now because I've got to do a little exercise here. If you'll indulge me for a moment.
I'll indulge, yeah.
See, as part of creating the new Sunday newsletter at Courier Newsroom, parent company of Up North News, they said, well, here's a launch kit. Here are all the ways to publicize, you know, the Sunday morning newsletter. And one of them they suggested was an intro video. saying, just talk a bit about yourself and, you know, the product, in this case, the Sunday newsletter, and let, you know, let people know they should do it. So I guess theoretically, I'm supposed to go do a selfie video, maybe. I'm supposed to go outside with my phone here and say, hey, I'm Pat Kreitlow. Da, da, da. Well, I got a camera right here. I got a willing audience right here, and I got judges in the audience to tell me if this works or not. Let's just do the video right now. We'll do it live, as Bill O'Reilly used to say. So let's give that a shot. What do you say? You ready? Yeah, I'm ready. Okay, go ahead. Let's even give it a countdown. 3, 2, 1. Hey, this is Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. You can catch me live right here on the radio across the Civic Media Radio Network weekday mornings from 6 to 9. Like right now, I'm exposing our radio listeners to this announcement about our new Sunday morning newsletter. It's called Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Just like the radio show is called Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Very convenient, isn't it? On Sunday mornings, I put together a newsletter that wraps up some of the political stories that happened around Wisconsin over the past 7 days. Lots of it happening in our state capital, some of it happening in other places around our great state. I was an intern for my state legislator in middle school, and it was then, as a good little nerd that I am, I got an appreciation for state government and how very important it is, funding our schools, making sure that our roads are in good shape, making sure we take care of our natural resources, and of course, our people. State government does all those things. I even went on to serve in state government in the legislature for a time. But I've always been a political reporter and broadcaster at heart, and I now have this opportunity to share what I learn each week with you. You don't have to watch the legislature week after week. I take care of that, tell you what's going on, and then engage you a bit with something called our question of the week, where I will ask a question about state politics. You'll respond by responding to the newsletter through email or sending us messages otherwise. I'll put those together and share those in the following week's newsletter. It's all called Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. You can find it on our website, upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the top banner. You'll see all the newsletters that we offer here at Up North News. Click on the one for Sunday mornings. We'd love to have you as a subscriber. Now, that was supposed to be 30 to 60 seconds, and I'm pretty sure, Parker, that ran so long, you finished your donut and probably stole Mather's donut and ate half of that as well. But yeah. I'll take care of that in what they call post-production.
Well done.
I just take care of all the best of the rest, you know?
Yeah, you got it.
I like that. We might actually make this a thing. We might just do a daily wrap-up video at this point. Tell the kids what we learned. What did we learn today?
We learned that we do it live.
We do it live. Tony, roads and resources, you nerd. Yeah. Yes, nerd. Totally. Guilty. I was that kid who it was, you know, liking my social studies class so much that when I was running into issues at school and going to my school counselor, and he says, I know exactly what to do. And he picks up the phone and he calls my state legislator right then and there and says, I got this eighth grader with some time on his hands. We got to get him out of the classroom. Could you take him? And so every Thursday, I would just hop on a bus. I'd hop on a city bus. I'd put my dime in the fare box. That's how old I am. And take the bus out to the state capitol and basically open the mail. Or I was like a gopher, a courier. I would just take things between, you know, legislators' offices. And then I'd sit in on the sessions, on the floor sessions, like a page, essentially. And loved every moment of it and thought, I'd like to do this someday. And I did, as a reporter and then as a legislator. And now I get to share all this with all of you. And sometimes you respond and sometimes you say, can we hear more about the donuts, please? But either way, I just try to bring a little something extra that you might not get out of state government. So if you're getting that from this radio show, if you're getting it from our newsletter, if you're getting it from our coverage on Up North News, well, that just makes me happy. And I'm glad you guys all are here. I know, I'm hearing you now going, please, more donut. All right, more donut. The donut's gone, right?
Donut's gone. Donut was gone about halfway through your little soapbox doing your video there.
I know. And
sorry.
I think I deserve one. So
go to Quick Trip. Get a Glazer.
Guess where I'm going as part of my rounds today. I'm going to stop at the Chippewa Falls Post Office, check PO Box 27, 54729, see what kind of notes have been sent along. And along the way, I will have the radio on 93.5, the Tap, here in the Chippewa Valley, because coming up next on Matt and Air on Air, guests include Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor and founder of the Recombobulation Area. That's part of Matt and Air on Air coming up next. And then Todd Alba will have Sports and Positive Thinking with Brady Ewing, a former Badger and NFL fullback, and so much more ahead coming across the Civic Media Radio Network. Parker Olson, have a great weekend.
Well, thank
see you.
See
you Monday morning.
You too, Pat. I'll see you.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody, for being a part of our program this week. I'm Pat Kreitlow, founding editor of Up North News, the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network. Follow us at upnorthnewswi.com. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday morning here up north.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Hiring in the U.S. slowed last month, but for now anyway, President Trump's aggressive policies on trade and the trimming of the federal government workforce don't seem to have affected the jobs picture that much. U.S. employers added a solid 139,000 jobs to the workforce last month, better than forecast. President Trump and Elon Musk sparring publicly on social media in a spat that began over the size of the Trump budget. ABC's Rachel Scott says Musk has tweeted the president wouldn't have won without him.
He spent $200 million dollars of his own money to help Trump and Republicans get elected, appearing at events with a chainsaw, promising to slash spending. But now the president says he didn't need Musk or his money to win.
I think I would have won. Susie would say I would have won Pennsylvania easily anyway.
And dismissing him as a disgruntled former employee.
Russia unleashing a new round of airstrikes on Ukraine overnight, retaliation for the drone attack on Russia's military aircraft. This is ABC News.